always, mercy and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text will be our gospel reading heard earlier. And if you'd like to follow along with the sermon notes, you're welcome to do that. Right below page 5. The story of a little 6-year-old boy that said, "I'm running away from home." But his parents asked him, "What will you do when you run out of food?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. I'll just come home for more." And he said, "Well, what will you do when you run out of money?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. I'll just come home for more." He said, "Well, what will you do when your clothes get dirty?" He said, "Well, that's easy. I'll just come home and get some more." And Dad turned to his mom and said, "This kid isn't running away. He's going to college." Unfortunately, the truth is, there's a lot of people that are running away from home. Home is not often a safe place or a peaceful place. It's often a place of pain and conflict, a place that sometimes you want to just run away from. And we kind of see this more and more, that people aren't finding the love and acceptance that they want at home. So they end up running to other things to try to find that outside of home. And husbands can go running to alcohol or work. Women can run to affairs or emotional ties outside their marriage that are unhealthy. Children can want to run from outside the house, find some negative way to cope. And oftentimes people grow up with pain from home that never really gets resolved. And you end up kind of carrying that with you your life, and sometimes you don't even realize it. But some of what you're doing in your adult years is based on unresolved pain from your childhood years. You know, for me, it was lots of criticism growing up kind of helped me to grow in a perfectionist attitude, and I thought I always had to be better and better. I really had trouble being at peace with my abilities. It created a lot of unrest in my life. A lot of control from my parents sometimes over my choices, and I had trouble being confident in choices I would make when I had to on my own. There's a lot of things that can happen, and a lot of brokenness that home, unfortunately, isn't the place that we always want it to be, or even that we try for it to be. And we're in a series called Family Life, and we began, if you remember, last week with Zachariah and Elizabeth, and they were going through some pretty hard circumstances. They were longing to have children, and they couldn't have any children. And I know today we know the pain of that, especially when you see other people and other families, and you wonder why you can't have it. When they look around and see all their other families, and all they can see is shattered hopes and dreams. And maybe they just at times wanted to run away. Sometimes people describe marriage as 3 stages: the happy honeymoon, party's over, and then let's make a deal. Try to find some way to work through your differences. So maybe your differences concern money, maybe it's concerning how to raise kids, maybe it's concerning how to work with your parents and curfew or what you can and can't do. Maybe it's a vacation and making plans for that, and you think, oh, you always go where you want to go, never go where I want to go. Sometimes the holidays can be extra stressful times. Planning and preparation, it can be easy to lash out at one another. But we need to remember that family conflict is not the issue. Family conflict is not the issue. The issue is, how we handle the conflict. As we see here, there are four options to handle the conflict. First one, we can say, my way would be number one. It's just all about me, it's about my agenda, it's about getting my wants met. I'm always right, you're always wrong. And my way is the best way, and the only way. If you don't like it, tough. There's the door. It's my way. It doesn't really work that well. There's no way, number two. It means you just ignore the problem and kind of just run away. Maybe there's like a discussion killer, like, oh, give me a break, or, oh, I can't believe you're talking about this, oh, I can't believe you won't just let it go. Maybe you just run to your room and lock the door. Well, sometimes that happened with my dad at the dinner table. It's like, oh, this really isn't helping things. This is only prolonging the conflict. You can say no way, you can say my way, you can say your way, number three. In other words, you don't really address the problem, you just kind of give in and play dead. And say, okay, whatever you want to do, just do it. I won't be involved in decision making. Zechariah and Elizabeth show us another way, and that's God's way. It's number four. It says, on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. So they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. So there's a conflict on what the child is to be named. Maybe that's happened in your family. Kind of a big decision. But it would be common for them to name it after their father or one of their relatives. But she wanted to name him John. It didn't really make much sense. And so they go to Zechariah, and Zechariah writes on his tablet the same thing. And that's how they're able to resolve the conflict. Of course, first, Zechariah had to doubt the angel Gabriel, who said that Elizabeth was going to have a son, even though she was barren in advance of years. So he had, for 9 months, he couldn't speak. It's like a pastor's greatest fear. I don't know how he got through it, but he must have learned a lot. But when it came to the naming the son, though, he was ready. He wasn't going to say my way, he wasn't going to say your way, he wasn't going to say no way. Is going to be committed to God's way. God's way means that we care about solving the problem. We're not just going to let it go. When it attacks the issue, it doesn't attack the person. So remember, the highest priority is relationship. It's not about who's right or who's wrong. What matters is reconciliation, not simply resolution. Not simply having things feel right again, but reconciliation, truly restoring the brokenness in the relationship. Reconciliation shows that you are more important than the problem that's going on. It doesn't mean we bury the issue, but it does mean we bury the hatchet. Bury the sniper rifle. So we learn how to maybe disagree, learn how to walk arm in arm, not necessarily seeing eye to eye. Like we said, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they named the son John, not because it was their idea, but because it was God's way. And actually, the angel Gabriel gave that to them. And the name John, if you know what the name John means, it means the Lord is gracious. Which I tongue means the Lord is gracious. The only way Zechariah and Elizabeth would resolve their conflict would be to go God's way. It's the way of grace. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says we're saved by grace. Romans 6:14 that says we're under grace. And Peter 5:10 says that God of all grace. Hebrews 4:16 says we can approach the throne of grace any time and know that we'll get the mercy we need. James 4 says God gives more grace. John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. It's grace that reconciles us and restores relationships from the brokenness of sin. This is what God does for us. He copes with the conflict between us being broken and Him being holy. He doesn't just say, well, I deserve it my way so I can be only thinking about myself. He doesn't say, no way, I don't want to hear your concerns. He doesn't say, your way, which is rebellion. He says, my gracious way, God's way, way of grace. Come into a broken world, give my life for you, so that you can know peace and have peace. Not only with me, but in your relationships. There are times when we don't have unity in our family and faith, right? It can be difficult. We need God's way of patience. We need God's way of, literally it means long suffering. To endure, to keep loving, in spite of maybe being wrong, in spite of there being a tension there. Just as God was patient with Zechariah, even though he doubted his word, even though he thought it was laughable that his wife would have a child, God didn't give up on him. Sometimes we need long suffering and patience to continue loving those in our family that persist in wrongdoing. And to keep putting God first. I heard a story just yesterday about a wife who would tell her husband that she's going to church. Her husband didn't believe in God. Every Sunday she'd say she's going to church one day. He said, no, you're not. And he said, I guess I am. And he said, you know what, if you go, I'm going to lock the door. And she went. She came back. The door is locked. She slept outside the whole night. When she morning came, he came outside the door, he almost tripped over her. And she just got up and said, do you need anything for breakfast? She went back to loving her husband. The husband became a Christian because he was so overwhelmed with the grace from his wife. True story. Sometimes we need patience and long-suffering, but it's the way of grace. It can only bring peace. It can only get us not to just think about our own desires, to humbly admit our wrongs, to come together, to be united in God's way. There's great power being united in God's way. Think about the Philippians and the joy that Paul had in being partnered with them in the gospel, to have that church in Philippi as partners in the gospel. Enjoy being united in God's way. reaching the lost. The joy of being united in God's way in marriage to Adam and Eve. The joy of being united in God's way in families. We're going to live under the Word of God and lift His name up. It's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. December 17th, 1903, Oroville and Wilbur Wright got their flying airplane off the ground. In their excitement, they sent a telegraph to their sister Catherine and said, flew 120 feet, we'll be home for Christmas. And she was so excited. She got the news, ran to the local newspaper, gave it to the editor, and he said, oh, that's great, we'll be home for Christmas. He missed the news that, hello, they got an airplane off the ground for the first time ever. Sometimes in Christmas, we can miss the good news. It's the good news that the Lord is gracious. This is the message of Christmas. That God's way is the way of grace. It's the way that He gives to us. It's the way that He empowers us as we live with each other. And when it comes to grace, Jesus nailed it. Finally. Well, remember, right? He nailed it. Literally on the cross. Went to the cross for all those sins that you committed with your family members, all those times of selfishness and ambition and stubbornness, times you rolled over and just gave in when you knew it was wrong, just avoided. And you know what? Before Jesus went to the cross, He wanted to run away too. He said, Father, there's another way. Let it pass from me. But it was the only way. It was the only way to reconcile you and me with God. So He went. Willingly and obediently. Did it perfectly. So forgiven by grace and overflowing with grace. Family conflict comes, or conflict in our relationships, we can say yes to a better way. Not my way, not your way, not no way, God's way of grace. His name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.